Brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, America's most popular self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic anti-choice talk show host. Our phone number 1-800-8-ENYART. Now, there are these a handful of cliches, Christian cliches, that we've mentioned on the show, and I'm going to throw out a couple of them. And people have said to me, Bob, why don't you talk about this one or that one, and I pretty much would rather not do it unless somebody makes a challenge or asks a question. And the one that I've had people ask about, the ones recently, are the statements that there's no time in heaven, because we've mentioned that on the show. And some Christians have said that there's no time in heaven, and here we think that that's a cliche. And that's actually not true, that there is time in heaven. Another one is the statement that God does not change, that God does not change, that he's immutable. And is that true, or is that a cliche? So if you have questions about these cliches, or that all sins are equal, for example, and to round out the cliches, things like don't judge and forgive everyone and don't call anyone a fool. You know, there's many hate the gin and love the dinner. I mean, hate the sin and love the sinner. A lot of cliches are in the Bible. So if you have any questions about these, or you think that they're not cliches, that they're valid Christian teachings, then I'd like to hear from you. Especially, is there time in heaven? Now, some Christians say there's no time in heaven. And then, does God change? Many Christians say that God is immutable. They call it immutability, that God does not change. So does God change, or does he not? So our phone number, 1-800-8-ENYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. 1-800-836-9278. While you guys think about some of those issues, we've got a couple news stories to do. And then if anybody wants to talk through that, that'd be fine. But here, some news, a report is out. How much does it cost to raise kids? Cheryl and I, let's see, how many kids do we have? How many fingers do I have? We have 7 boys and no girls. And so we read this article, and my wife told me, as we're finishing reading the article together, she said, Bob, get back to work. I'm going to ask the studio audience. Anybody want to guess in, say, $10,000 increments, how much does it cost to raise a kid up until his 18th birthday? Okay. All right. Interesting guess. All these different guesses, big spans. I'm just going to tell you. $165,000. $165,000 per child. That's the average of what the average American household spends on a child up to age 18. Times that by 7, we're in big trouble. Where's Cheryl? I don't see her out there. Wherever she is, get a message to her. Tell her to go back to work tonight. After the kids go to bed, tell her to put in a couple hours of work. That's a lot of money, $165,000. Our phone number, 1-800-8-ENYART, 1-800-836-9278. Now, an instant message came in at kgovlive@aol.com, and with $140,000. That's pretty good if you're just pulling that out of the recesses of your memory somewhere or calculating on the fly $140,000. Okay. All right. So, yeah, 1-800-836-9278. Now, let's see here. All right, we're going to take some calls, but then a story I want to do a little later is there was a sentence handed down. This is out of the New York Times. I clipped this article here. Not on the internet. Got it right out of the New York Times. A sentence was handed down on somebody who was an accomplice with terrorists who conspired to blow up the Los Angeles airport, and he was helping them in different ways, and he was sentenced. So let's figure out if his sentence was appropriate. We'll do that later. But first, we'll go to the phones. In Indianapolis, Jeff, speak your mind.
You. Oh,
hello, Jeff.
How's it going?
Going well, sir.
Hey, I want to plug the plot real quick.
Oh, that's kind of you.
Everybody who hasn't read it should.
The plot manuscript?
Yes.
Who wrote that?
I believe you did.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot. Yeah, the plot, 330-page overview of the whole Bible. Jeff, that's kind of you to plug the plot. Are we paying you anything?
No.
All right. When did you read it?
I read it. Neil Copley gave it to me.
Neil Copley is a long time. He's a... He played the organ. He was the organist for the Indianapolis Ice. Does he still do that?
Yes, he does.
He is such a talented musician.
He's also our band leader at church.
He is. And so, can I ask you, Jeff, how old you are?
I am 31.
31, okay. And so, the band, when you say he's the band leader, you're talking about the church's worship team.
That's correct, yes.
Okay. All right, I get it. All right, and so so he gave you the plot, and how do I thank Neil for doing that?
I don't know.
I owe him a debt of gratitude here. Tell him I said hello, okay?
I'll do that.
All right, so you read the plot and you liked it. I'm thrilled to hear that.
Yeah, in fact, I talked to you on the phone once.
You did?
Yeah.
All right.
I had ordered several copies of the plot.
Oh.
And you had called me.
All right. Well, I'm thrilled to hear that I followed up for once.
Bob, I have another cliche for you.
A cliche? Go ahead.
Yeah, this one drives me nuts.
All right.
This is when I hear pastors say almost every Sunday.
All right.
And they tell all the believers, all the Christians, that they are still sinners.
Oh, that you're still a sinner.
Yeah.
And, of course, the Apostle Paul said, if we are still sinners, then Christ must be a minister of sin.
That's right.
Because we have our identity in Christ, and sinners go to hell.
That's right.
And the righteous go to heaven. That's the difference. And so we Christians, we are now called the righteous. We are in Christ, although it's true that we still sin, but we're not sinners.
That's right.
Yeah.
Drives me nuts every time I hear them say it.
Yeah, all right.
They should be telling the sinners that they're sinners.
Yeah, that's something that a lot of ministers don't want to say. They'll tell the Christians they're sinners, but not the sinners.
That's right.
The sinners, they say, well, this is the age of grace. Well, what does that have to do with the sinners? They're under the law, and they're going to hell.
Right.
They're not going to go to hell by grace. They're going to hell under the condemnation of the law. Unless they repent, then they're under grace.
Exactly. Yeah, and Christ completely changes the nature of who you are, and it's impossible for you to still be a sinner because sinners are God's enemies. He hates those.
Hey man, Jeff, you got some Bible teaching there. We'll be right back. Listener supported radio right here, Bob and Yurt Live. Hey, our phone number for calling in on the air is the same number if you'd like to order, let's say, the plot manuscript or a videotape on the resurrection or a debate on evolution or morality, why God forbids sexual immorality. That's actually my testimony. Videos like Get Out of the Matrix, where I got to debate a college philosophy class. Oh boy, that was tense. Live from Las Vegas, debates on the convention center floor. God and the death penalty. So many neat videos. You can give us a call. Check us out on the web at kgov.com. On the top right, you'll see our materials. And you can see the videos, the audio tape albums we have, Bible study albums. The plot manuscript is really the foundation of our effort. It's an overview of the whole Bible. And if you start with an overview, then chances are you'll do better at trying to comprehend the details. How many details are in the Bible? What, thousands upon thousands of details. How many issues, separate issues and topics are in the Bible? Hundreds? How do you become proficient at those issues? Well, if you start out addressing issue after issue, you're going to be 99 before you even went through them all once. The way to start understanding the Bible is to start with an overview of the story. Get the story down, then dig into the details. Then you're ready to handle the details. And that's with the Plot Manuscript. It's $49.95 plus shipping and handling, money-back guarantee. And the money that comes in from selling the plot and the videos and the audio tapes are used to keep Bob and Yart Live on the air to grow and reach more people. So give us a call, 800-8-N-YART. And, you know, Jeff, we're going to be back on the air here in 1 minute. The rest of this break is for our internet audience only. But Jeff is so kind to mention the plot. Boy, have we had so many people. We've lost track. You know, now and then I take a letter and I stick it in a scrapbook, or a scrap box. Or somebody will email comments about the plot, the Bible teaching that we do through Bob and Yart Live, and I'll copy it to a scrapbook directory on Al the Fourth. Al is my co-host, my notebook computer here. And so we save some of their comments. I don't know. I don't know what we're going to do with them. You know what? We should have us on the internet where there's the plot description. We should have click here for comments. And then we could put all these. Wouldn't that be cool? That'd be great. All right. Christians are still sinners. I just added that to my list of Christian cliches that we've got here on Al the Fourth, my notebook computer. All right, so Jeff, thank you. I never thought about that as a cliche, but you got it, that is.
Well, the way they say it is they say we're all sinners saved by grace, which is true, we were once sinners.
Right, we were once sinners, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, and then once you're saved, you're no longer a sinner, now you're the righteous.
Righteousness of God.
But, you know, the material in the Bible that explains all this, some Christians, they look at it and they misunderstand it. And what they come away from it is they think, well, once you become a Christian, then you don't sin anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, that's ridiculous. Christians sin. Paul sinned. Peter sinned. You know, David, he wasn't a Christian. He was a believer in God before Christ.
Right.
But David sinned terribly. So believers in God sin, but we're not sinners. And it's one of the fundamental teachings of that the Apostle Paul gave to us. And
that's right. We're no longer defined by our sin anymore. We're defined by our relationship with Christ.
Right. Your identity is in Jesus Christ, not in your rebellion against God.
Right.
So you are not a sinner, but you do sin. But you're not a sinner. And people
and you
will
know
say,
why I believe that's so important is that I believe that what you believe about yourself is going to determine how you act.
How you behave.
Yeah.
Well, that's extremely insightful. Jeff, that's completely accurate. And, you know, I don't make that point in the plot. So you're building, of course, logically on the Bible teaching that, well, Paul's ministry, Paul goes to such great lengths to point this out, that we are saved by grace and therefore we're identified with Christ.
Right.
And there's a huge difference between us and sinners.
The old man is dead.
But now what happens is the church, for the most part, while the world is under the law and the body of Christ is under grace, what the church does, if on Bob and Yart Live, if we condemn, let's say, abortionists, homosexuals, evolutionists, socialists, Democrats, whoever we condemn, Christians will call up and say, don't you know this is the age of grace? And, well, these unbelievers, they're not under grace, they're under law. Paul says that all the world is under the law and guilty before God, and they don't come into grace unless they repent. And when they die in rebellion against God and go to hell, they're not going to hell under grace. They're going to hell under law. So the world is under the law, whereas the body of Christ, we're under grace. But what the church has done is this massive reversal. Jeff,
exactly.
Could you finish that thought for me? The massive reversal. How does the church do the reversal?
Well, the massive reversal is we tolerate that everything that the unrepentant world does, and we condemn. We condemn. Yeah, exactly. We condemn those who are believers in Christ.
In the body of Christ, we're ministered guilt and condemnation, that we're sinners, and to the unbeliever, they're ministered grace.
Right.
And it's the exact opposite of what God says in the Bible, that the world, right now, the world is under the law and guilty and condemned, and the believers are under grace. And that is pretty much, I'd say, generally speaking, the Christian church has that backwards.
Right.
And they minister grace to the unbelievers and law to the believers.
Exactly.
It's uncanny how we can get things backwards.
You want one more real quick?
Go ahead.
The tender commandments.
The tender commandments?
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah.
They make them tender?
Yeah. That's how some pastors will teach the law, that they are God's tender commandments.
Ooh, boy.
To teach you how to live.
I never heard that before. I'm writing that down. Because, you know, have you ever read Pilgrim's Progress?
I've only read parts of it.
By John Bunyan. You know what? For at least a couple hundred years, that was the number two bestseller of all time behind the Bible, and it might still be. I'm not sure, but Pilgrim's Progress sold tens of millions of copies. And that book, John Bunyan was in jail for quite a few years because he was determined to preach the gospel, and he was not authorized by the state to preach the gospel in England, so he kept getting thrown in jail. While he was in jail, he wrote this allegory of the Christian life. And in it, it's just amazing. In fact, we quote this in the plot manuscript. He says that his main character was named Christian, mm-hmm. and he's on his journey headed toward heaven. And he's on his journey, and some big beast of a guy comes up to him and grabs him by the collar and punches him right in the face, and Christian is wiped out on the ground. Do you remember this story, Jeff?
No, I don't.
All right. It's in that I tell it in the plot, but the plot, 330 pages, easy to forget. I
haven't memorized it yet.
Yeah, no, and you better not ever. But so anyway, Christian sort of is dazed, but he gets himself back up. He stands up, and this big guy grabs him again and punches him right in the face, and he's just laid out. And he's practically unconscious, and he comes to, and he stands up, and the big guy grabs him again and punches him in the face, and he's down. And Christian says to one of his companions, he says, "Do you know who that guy was?" He says, "I know exactly who that was. That was Moses." And he said, "That's right, it was Moses, because the law kills and the law condemns. Because the law tells us that we are sinners, and it judges us as guilty before God." And so when you take the law that the Apostle Paul says kills, and you say it's the tender commandments,
mm-hmm.
I do think you're misunderstanding one of the main thrusts of the story of the Bible.
Oh, without a doubt.
And I think that John Bunyan, in the second best-selling book of all time, written by, of course, a great Christian hero, I think he was right. And I think Paul was right. And I think a lot of Christians, because they don't know the whole story of the Bible, they easily get confused. Hey, Jeff, thank you so much. Anything else?
Just everybody read the plot.
Oh, come on now. It's not a requirement.
All right.
But it's fun.
Thank you.
God bless you, Jeff.
All right.
All right. So 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. So now I'm trying to figure out this other cliche that God does not change. God does not change. We have don't judge and forgive everyone. All sins are equal. These are all cliches. There's no time in heaven. Don't call anyone a fool. Hate the gin and love the dinner. I keep saying that wrong. Hate the sin and love the sinner. Let's see, that cliche. I'm looking at a cliche right here. I'm not even going to repeat it. I'm going to skip it. It's too ingrained. I think Christians who are driving right now in their car, listening on the radio, if they hear me mention that cliche, they might veer off the road and say, "What?" So I just can't say it. I don't want to be responsible for a traffic accident. I'm skipping that one for now. Sorry, one of these days we'll do a seminar on Christian cliches, and there we'll include it. But right now I'm skipping it. Christians are still sinners. The tender commandments, we got those. And God does not change. Now, is that true? Or is that a cliche, that God does not change? It's a cliche. It's a cliche. But what do you think about that? Is it a cliche or is it true that God does not change? Certainly the Bible says somewhere that God does not change. How could it be a cliche if the Bible says it? Like, don't judge. Is that true or is that a cliche? All right. Hey, the sentence. So there's a fitness trainer in Boston, and he basically was involved in an attempted terrorist attack in our country back in 1999. And I remember his last name was Amry, Amry, but I forget his first name. Something, it's just, another run-of-the-mill terrorist. Something Amry, something. Would anybody out there remember what his name was? Oh, yeah, Muhammad. How could I forget? Stupid me. Muhammad Amry, a Boston area fitness trainer, was sentenced to 1 year. So many of these guys, the Bible talks about Noah and his three sons, Shem, Japheth, Ham, and Shem. Remember those guys? Right? And Ham, so many of these terrorists, they're descendants of Ham. I don't want to get weird on you. It just so happens. And a lot of them have Ham in their names even. There's a story out today of the Bali terrorist, Bali, the bomb that killed, how many people were killed? Over 200 people, just devastating in Indonesia. And the leader of that, one of the leaders of that group, his name was Ham Bali. And so many of these guys have Muhammad, Ham, and it's in their names. So not all of them, but so many. But anyway, I don't want to get weird, and count how many feet the foundation of the Lincoln Memorial is or anything on you. But okay, so anyway, this Muhammad Amry, this was his sentence. He's sentenced to 1 year and 3 months in jail in order to pay $15,000 for giving financial details of club members. He's a fitness trainer, remember, to men who conspired to blow up the Los Angeles airport in 1999. So they call him Mr. Amry. I would just call him Muhammad for short. From Massachusetts. He pleaded guilty to conspiracy to commit bank fraud and conspiracy to commit identification document fraud and access device fraud, and bank fraud itself, and he got a year in jail. And he's helping terrorists. All right, let's go to the phones, 1-800-836-9278, Westminster, Colorado. James, speak your mind.
Yeah, I had a question about the article listening to my other radio. It's messing up my hearing.
Yeah, that'll do that. That's right. You got to shut off your radio. The amount of money it costs to raise a kid.
Yeah, and I question the...
Now, hey, James, we've got either a button on your phone is being pressed or the CIA is censoring your call.
I don't think it was either.
Okay.
Hey,
we're going to the news.
Astronomical glitch.
James, we're going to the news. Could you hang on?
Yeah.
Be right back. Okay, this is our internet-only break right here. Internet only. I want to know, was that us? I'm asking the show engineer. No? Nathaniel. That wasn't us. And, all right. Maybe it was, wasn't the CIA? No, they don't get involved. So, all right. Okay, so we'll go to James when we get out of this break. Hey, I'm so thankful that so many people in the audience, the ones who help keep the show on, they just, it seems like an everyday occurrence that people call up and say, Bob, thanks for the Bible teaching that we get from Bob and Yurt Live, because so many Christians express over the years, for me, over a quarter of a century, frustration with themselves because they don't know the Bible. When is the last time somebody expressed that frustration to me? I'm thinking about this. It was yesterday. Yesterday. A woman, should I say who she is? I'll say who she is. She, by her position, she's a secretary with Right to Life, one of the state offices of Right to Life. And she called up and she said, Bob, my husband and I, we've been Christians for a long time. We're now involved in a discussion in our church, and we realize we don't know the Bible. The Bible is a big mystery to us. We're so frustrated. You know, we've gone to Sunday school, we've gone to church, and we read the Bible and we don't know it. And so I asked her, when did you first start to get an overview of the whole Bible? And she said, oh, well, we never did that. Well, then you called the right place, because that's what we'll do. We'll start you off, if you're interested, in an overview of the whole Bible. And I asked, do you tend to read more or listen to audio tapes? People learn different ways. What do you think for you guys? And she said, oh, I think we'd rather read. And then maybe if we read, then we could also get audio tapes if we want more information. I said, yeah, absolutely. So they got the plot manuscript. And this is the secretary of a Right to Life organization, one of the state organizations. And we were humbled and thrilled that she called Bob and Yurt Live. Praise the Lord for that, because our passion is to get out to as many people as we can throughout our lives, the teaching, the message of the Bible. And is Bob and Yurt Live, everything we present, is it all accurate? No, we're not inerrant. We make mistakes, but we ask God to help us to do the best that we can to present the Bible, an overview of the whole Bible. one 800 836 9278. I wonder, Doug must have had a good time in the studio last Friday night, Thursday and Friday night. This Bible, the studio Bible, it's in pieces. What was he doing? Throwing the book at somebody? It's in pieces. It's no longer usable. Look at this. Whole chunks are now out of the binding. And Doug McBurney must have had a good time in the studio last week. All right, back to Westminster, Colorado. James, go right ahead, James.
Yeah, Doug must have been ripping through the Bible.
I think so.
That article said it costs $168,000 to raise a child.
Yeah.
And I think they probably don't take into account people with multiple children.
Oh.
Because you get a lot of hand-me-downs.
Yeah,
clothes.
That's true for clothing.
There's a lot of economies of scale.
Economies. Well, do you have experience in this? Do you have more than one?
I have five kids.
Five kids.
And there's no way I'm spending $168,000 for each child to raise until they're 18.
Well, 50, that would be what? That would be approaching $10,000 a year per kid.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah, per kid.
But maybe what they do is maybe they prorate, like, let's say, your mortgage and your heat and your food.
Well, that's possible.
Yeah.
But even if you prorate it with more kids, those economies of scale would
kick in.
Come into play.
Yeah, that's true.
And the cost would be lower. And I think the purpose of those articles like that would be very discouraging, would discourage people from having kids.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
And anybody, you know, you're just your average person who looks at that article, their jaw's going to drop. The single married couple, 168,000, I'll never have that.
You're right.
It's baloney.
It's anti-child.
And those articles always drive me up the wall, so I had to call.
I can't believe it, James. I was duped. I just lapped this up. I normally, you know, I like to make sure I'm not naive on the air, because in person, one-on-one with my friends, I'm totally gullible. I believe whatever my friends tell me, and they pull practical jokes on me all the time. But on the air, I'm not gullible. Normally, I just bought this hook, line, and sinker.
All right.
Well, thank you, James.
All right. Well, have a good evening.
I appreciate that.
All right.
Wow. I just bought that, didn't I? Right, because this would discourage people from wanting to have children. And the families that have kids tend to be the most successful families. Right? If a corporation is going to hire somebody to be, say, the CEO of a new division, they're going to spin off a subsidiary. Who are they going to hire? Are they going to hire a single guy? Or they have two options here, a single guy or a married guy with three kids. Which, if that's all it came down to, other than that, their resumes were the same. Who would they hire? Well, we know, you don't have to guess, corporate America has shown 10,000 times over they prefer the married guy with the kids. They prefer a married guy to a single guy, always, over and over and over. And it's married men that tend to be wildly successful. When you look at success. And how about women? What if they've got a subsidiary? Let's say it's the phone company. It's Quest. And Quest is going to spin off Quest International. And even though their headquarters is in Denver, Quest International, say it's going to be in Manhattan. Maybe it's going to be across the street from the Waldorf. You know where they have the Christmas tree? At Rockefeller Center. They're going to have their headquarters there. And they got to hire a CEO. Are they going to hire a single woman or a married? Who would they prefer, a single woman or a married woman? You know? Much prefer a single woman to a married woman. And with men, corporate America much prefers a married man versus a single man. Isn't that interesting? All right. Now, let's see. Hey, all right, so now that I've been corrected by James from Colorado, thank you, James, very valuable, 1-800-836-9278, we've got this terrorist, Amri, Mr. Amri. What is his name again, his full name? James Amri? Joseph Amri? Robert Amri? Stupid me. Muhammad Amri, he was sentenced to 1 year because he provided false ID and financial details to the terrorists who wanted to blow up the Los Angeles airport in 1999. And so his punishment is he's got 1 year in jail. And I don't know, you get out for good time? Normally you spend about half the time in jail that you're sentenced to. So he's sentenced to 15 months. So public school teachers, real quick, what's half of 15 months? Come on, quick, figure it out. Quick. Tell me in months. How many? How many weeks? How many days? Round it off. 30 days per month. How many days? 15 months. Quick. Public school teachers only. Quick, figure it out. So anyway, he'll probably get out of jail. And he's an accomplice to an attempted terrorist attack? How about the guys who try to blow up the World Trade Center? We can't even get the death penalty for them. They killed, how many did they kill? 8 people, injured 1,000? They tried to kill 20,000, tried to murder 20,000. We can't even get the death penalty on them. We put them in jail. All right. Let's go to New Orleans. Now, we're on the air in New Orleans, and this is, hey, Eric, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing, brother?
Good. Do you listen over the internet or on the radio?
On the radio.
You're our first caller from New Orleans. Welcome to Bob and Yart Live.
Hey, all right.
What's up, Eric?
Look, I was also thinking of, to elaborate on what the guy was saying earlier about how that, you know, those numbers about people, you know, discouraging people to have children,
yeah.
You know, when, you know, buying, you know, you see those numbers and you say, well, you're not going to have kids, but it also encourages abortion, you know.
Right.
When people see that kind of stuff, that's the first, you know, they can show some a young lady that and say, hey, you know, look what this is going to cost you.
Oh,
you know?
What a good point. And I've got an instant message here. A guy instant messaging at KGOV Live at AOL.com, and he says, this guy is right on. And he's talking about James in Westminster, and now you too, Eric.
Yeah, I mean,
very good point.
It's, you know, and it's, it really will encourage, you know, a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't watch it, and, you know, like you say, you know, it will make people, you know, go crazy over having abortions,
mm-hmm.
you know, and... you know, I think it's something that we need to pay attention to and discourage at any,
all right,
at all costs. You
thank
know?
You very much, Eric.
Yeah.
God bless. Hey, when did you first hear about the show? It couldn't have been too long ago.
About a month. Is it about a month ago?
All right, right off the bat, because
somewhere.
We just started in New Orleans.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
Tell the audience about the station that we're on out there.
WVOG, I think it is. WVOG AM 600.
Yeah, and how well does it come in at your house?
Comes in clear. Clear. You know, I live all the way in New Orleans East, and that's like not in the main city.
Mm-hmm.
It's like further out from the city.
Right.
So it comes in pretty nice.
Praise the Lord. All right, we're thrilled.
All right.
Thank you so much for calling, Eric.
All right, bless you.
God bless you. Wow. First call from New Orleans. Now, over the years, how many calls have we had from New Orleans on Bob and Yart Live? It has to be about 1,000 over the years, because we were on for, what, 5 years on TV on Channel 20 down in New Orleans, a very powerful station on cable, full power broadcast TV station for years on TV there. So... all right. Good for New Orleans. Praise the Lord. Okay. Now, so, all right. So a guy is, he's involved in a case. He's basically committing a crime, enabling the terrorists who are trying to blow up the Los Angeles airport. And we put him in jail for 7.5 months. Great. The guys who tried to blow up the World Trade Center, to collapse it, murdered 20,000 people, and they failed. They only murdered 8 and injured 1,000, and they got jail time. We can't even give them the death penalty. Talk about a failure of a criminal justice system. Man. So the United Nations Security Council, this also coming out of the New York Times, unanimously voted in favor of a resolution strengthening the enforcement of penalties, including the freezing of funds, an arms embargo, and travel prohibitions against Osama bin Laden, Al-Qaeda, the Taliban, and their associates. It also called on governments to submit updated reports on their efforts. Well, that's good. A little bit belated, though. Now, I'm so thrilled to get that call. What was his name, Eric? Eric from New Orleans. I am just ecstatic, to tell you the truth, because, well, you know, I hate that expression, to tell you the truth. It implies you normally lie. I thought I didn't say to tell you the truth. Where'd that come from? I am just ecstatic about this. That, you know, you get on a new radio station and you like to know, you like to think, what's going on? Who's out there? Who are we reaching? Praise the Lord. Now, our affiliate list on kgov.com, kgov.com. We're on a shoestring budget here. We have mostly volunteers who help out with Bob and Art Live. And we don't have a web guy. Well, we have different people who volunteer to help out with the web, but it takes a lot of work. And most people are so busy, they don't have time to do it. And so our affiliate list on the web, it doesn't even talk about our latest affiliate, like Knoxville, Tennessee. We're on in Knoxville. We're on in Memphis, Tennessee, New Orleans. We don't even mention those cities. We got to get those up there now for sure. Wow, praise the Lord. Now, we do mention on the very on the homepage, we mention that we have new affiliates. And we mention Knoxville and New Orleans, but no information about them. They're not clickable. We need to fix that. All right. So, let's see here. I'm looking at our homepage right now, in fact. There's Doug McBurney. There's me. How are those photographs we've got on there? They're okay? Yeah, they're right. Black and white. Actually, it doesn't look quite black and white. It looks more like Matrix green. But then again, I tend to be a little colorblind. It's green, right? Yeah. See that? Matrix green. Not like evergreen. So our phone number, 1-800-8-NYART, it used to be we used two different numbers. One number for ordering materials and another number for the call-in show. And both numbers still work, but now we're using just one number, 800-8-NYART, to simplify things. And we give that out over and over during the show, during the breaks, to encourage you guys, if you listen to the show on the web, and you haven't ordered, let's say, the plot manuscript, well, maybe you just bite the bullet today and say, you know, I'm going to find out more about this ministry. I've been listening on the web, and I'm going to help out. I'm just beside myself. I don't know what to make of it. The fact that we get questions people ask off the air. In fact, during the show, people instant message me or they email at kgovlive@aol.com. kgov.com, that's our internet website. Kgov. It's like a radio station. Kgov on the web. kgov.com. And people will instant message or email and they'll ask questions about some of these issues. And I'll say, no, I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to give a lecture. I want to debate it. Either somebody's going to ask or disagree or just question. And so people will ask me, Bob, you promote this idea of is there time in heaven? Or does God change? Or does he not? And these are things that, you know, millions of Christians have been taught that God does not change. That God cannot change, that God is immutable. And so they said, so go ahead, just tell us. What do you think about it? And I said, no, I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait until one courageous soul calls in and says, Bob, I've heard that God does not change. And in fact, I believe that because God is immutable. So what do you think? So anyway, it sort of startles me that, that's all right. So God does not change. One of the Christian cliches. What are some of these cliches? Don't judge, forgive everyone. All sins are equal. There's no time in heaven. Don't call anyone a fool. Hate the gin, love the dinner. Right? Christians are sinners. We Christians are still sinners. We Christians are sinners, of course. The Ten Commandments. God does not change. He's immutable. And how should I introduce another one? There's one I skipped over. I skipped over that one. I ain't doing it. I'm just not doing it. What? Hey, fear and trepidation comes over me with some of these issues. But there's an interesting one. Now, I don't plan on talking about this one, but you know an interesting one? Let me ask you a question. When you've talked about people who are not Christians, unbelievers, and if they die as unbelievers, they never get saved, where do they go? Where do they live forever? Well, they go to hell. And when you go to hell, is that like going to heaven? No, it's going to hell. They're going to live forever without God if they die apart from Jesus Christ. They go to hell. Well, what's the main feature of hell, the main characteristic of hell? Well, hell is the place where God is not. If you go to hell, if you go to heaven, you get to live with God forever. You go to hell, you live without God. Does God dwell in hell? Does he? Does God dwell in hell? No. Hell is the place you live without God, apart from the Spirit of God. God is not in the lake of fire. Nobody can lock God up and put him in jail. And hell is jail. And if we put somebody in jail in America, do we put the president in there with him? No. No, he's in jail. And we might even put him in solitary confinement where he's in there alone. So if somebody goes to hell, are they in hell with God? No. God sends them to hell, and God is in heaven. It's interesting. Anyway, that's not one on the list. But that's just something of interest. Why is it of interest? I'm not going to connect the dots. But it's just of interest. All right. So let's blow off the cliches for now. That there's no time in heaven and God does not change. Let's ignore those cliches and get to some news. We have in Jordan, this is out of the Wall Street Journal, a newspaper, the government in Jordan has closed the Crescent Weekly. Now, why is the Crescent the symbol of Islam, in the Muslim world? Why do they have the moon as their symbol? Well, back in Mecca with Muhammad, you know, Mecca was pagan, and they worshipped about 300 different gods, like the pagans of the world did. And Muhammad said to them, well, there's only one God, and he got that out of the Bible, and that was good. He had the Old and New Testament, the Jewish scriptures, the Christian scriptures. He had that. He knew of those writings. And so he got from there that there was only one God, but then he picked one of the gods of the 300, was Allah, was the moon god. And he said, that's the true God, Allah, the moon god. So today, the symbol for Islam is the crescent moon. That was one of the 300 gods, and he picked that one. Well, let's worship that one. That's the true God. And the Bible says that the moon is not a god, it's a light. It says the sun, you know, the ancient world, much of it worshipped the sun and the moon and the stars. So people are worshiping the sun and the moon. And the Bible said on page one of the Bible, it says that they're lights. The sun and the moon are lights. Don't worship them. Well, in Deuteronomy, Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible. In Genesis 1, he starts out saying the sun and the moon are for lights. In Deuteronomy, five books later, he says what he said throughout his five books, don't worship them, only worship the Creator. Don't worship the moon. So it's inaccurate to say Islam teaches moon worship. That's not true. They don't do that, but that's where Muhammad got his God. He got it from the moon god. So that was unfortunate. So anyway, a newspaper in Jordan called the Crescent, a weekly newspaper, the government closed down the Crescent newspaper and arrested three of their journalists for an article that discussed the sex life of the Prophet Muhammad and his favorite wife, Aisha, A-I-S-H-A. And so officials, they detained the editor-in-chief, a senior assistant editor, and the writer of an article. They had him in jail for over 2 weeks. And they were accused of harming the dignity of the Prophet Muhammad's wife, Aisha. Also of harming the government and destabilizing society. And if you want to consider Jordan, Jordan is one of the most stable governments in the Middle East. That King Hussein, what was he, the monarch there for 40 years? And now he died. Is that right? Do I have this right? He died, and now his son is the new king. And I remember there was, we used to talk about monarchies quite a bit on the show and democracies and how democracies are so destructive and contrary to the God-given function of government. And how monarchies, there's a lot to be said for monarchies. And there was a photograph in, I think it was Time magazine, might have been on the cover. And King Hussein and Bill Clinton were, they're coming on or off of an airplane. And there was Hillary and Queen Noor standing next to each other. And it was a close-up. And Hillary just looked terrible. She could not have looked worse. I'm not talking about a bad hair day. I'm talking about a bad skin day, a bad face day, a bad everything day. She looked like a wreck. And Queen Noor was always known for being beautiful. She was beautiful. I think she was American. And not that that means she'd be beautiful. Hillary's American too. But anyway, so Queen Noor was beautiful. Hillary looked like she came from the pit of hell. And so we've zoomed in on the photograph, and I kept indicating back and forth, democracy, monarchy, democracy, monarchy. Just use some subtle media manipulation tactics. But that was funny. Anyway, so Jordan, they're all upset about the Prophet Muhammad and this article about his behavior. And I've never read through the whole Quran, but I've got a Penguin edition. You know, the Penguin edition, Penguin books, paperback. I've got a nice leather, fancy one, family Quran that was given to me by a Muslim listener in the audience. But I've read through chapters of my Penguin edition of the Quran. And one chapter that appears last in their edition, it's about women. By the Muhammad, what he taught about women. And in that chapter, the chapter is about his wife, Aisha, who's upset at Muhammad because, as though he didn't have enough wives already, he started to flirt with a very young slave girl, a Coptic slave girl. And Aisha was upset at him. And so Muhammad said, oh, okay, he gave his word to his primary wife, his favorite wife, that he would not touch this slave girl. And then, it doesn't say how long, hours, days, weeks later, when his lust got to him, he thought, forget this. I'm attracted to her. I'm going to take her. And so even though he gave his word, he went ahead and took the slave girl. And Aisha and I think another wife came to Muhammad and they were angry about this. And Muhammad, this is in the Penguin edition of the Quran. And believe me, they're not anti-Islam. And Muhammad says, hey, Muhammad deserves whatever Muhammad wants. And if you don't stop complaining, you're going to burn in hellfire. I was like, whoa, this was one messed up dude. Now, the difference between that and the Bible is everyone in the Bible, when they sin, when they break their word, they break a pledge, it's wrong. It's not justified. Abraham was wrong. David was wrong. Peter was wrong. Paul was wrong. In the Quran, Muhammad, the most despicable things he does, and it's defended, it's justified. So the Bible has excuse me, I'm losing my voice all of a sudden. The Bible has the flavor of realism because even its great men were sinners, admitted sinners, Muhammad, it's justified. This is Bob Inert reminding you to do right and risk the consequences.